Yo, what up, what up, what up, y'all? Welcome back to another segment of House of J. This is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And yo, I can't tell you guys how excited I am to be back. I do apologize for missing a week. I was spending Thanksgiving with some family and my wife's birthday was this past weekend, y'all, and I just took the time to just spend with them and really hone into, you know, getting that family time in, y'all. You know how it is. But yo, I am back. I'm ready to share with you guys some of the awesome things that's been going on, revelations I've been getting. There's a lot of stuff, man, that I can honestly say has been just fantastic and just phenomenal, man, in my heart, in my mind, and in my spirit. And what I want to share and talk to you guys today about is God's will in each and every one of our lives. And more importantly, the part we're going to talk about, the part of God's will that nobody really wants to deal with or nobody wants to have, but it's still necessary. And let me tell you, in the most difficult times, like we can deeply trust that those are the very circumstances that God will use to accomplish his eternal plan in us. Like, he is faithful not to just hurt us at random. He is faithful to save us forever. And throughout our lives, we will surely experience pain and heartache. But that doesn't mean it's going to stop the mission of the Lord, but it will further it. So I want you guys to stay tuned. I will be right back in a moment, man, so we can jump into it and just move forward, y'all, and go ahead and start this week off right on the House of J. Don't go anywhere, y'all. Yo, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to this segment of House of J. Of course, this is your host with the most, Trey Dismute. And y'all, like I said, today we are going to be talking about God's will in each and every one of our lives, man. And more specifically, the part of God's will that nobody necessarily wants or wants to claim or wants to be proud of or wants to really say that they want to accept it. But it is completely necessary for our growth and the truth and the guidance, right, that God has planned for us and has shown us that is necessary for us to be able to accomplish all that he has for us. And the first question I want to ask you is it possible for life to kind of not be the best, right, in our eyes, but still be God's will? And today, after all I've been through and things I've dealt with, I can honestly say that the answer is yes. Right. If we had a dart, right, and just threw it at the pages of the Bible, you are likely to hit a character whose story could confirm that. Yes. And we could talk about Job. We could talk about Paul, David, Peter, like even look at Moses journeying for years with less than faithful followers coming so close to the promised land, but without getting it. Struggles and setbacks and wounds are undeniable facts of life. God's people don't get passed over by hardship, but hard times are the part of his plan we'd almost always choose to get rid of if the choice was ours to make. Right? The hard times might be easier to understand if our pain could always be traced to our own sinful choices or those of others. But struggles can and they do befall us that we have no hand in. And most, like, think about miscarriages, right? Nothing that the parents did caused their baby's heart to stop beating. Sometimes the uproar of life is a natural result of choosing sin or selfishness, but just as often it is not. So how do we handle pain in a way that keeps us moving forward? And even if there's no, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, like, foolproof plan that exists, can we at least hope in a higher way? And I think we can. Right now, as I'm speaking, I'm thinking about, like, my son and his conception and what was going on during his birth. And while he was coming out, his mother had stopped pushing. He was at risk of actually dying if he did not come out when he did. And it caused a lot of pain, it caused a lot of stress, it caused a lot of things to not go the way that we thought that it should go. Now, and the fact of the matter is, if that would have happened, I don't know what I would have felt, what would have went on. And at this point, my son is 4 years old and I love him. He is beautiful. He's so beautiful. His character, his joy, everything. And I can't imagine my life without him. His presence speaks to the truth that we all need to grip for dear life and savor well. Like, God is working things out. And during those very parts of his will that we do not want, he is crafting and shaping and planning a deeper level than we can see. He is looking at a line that stretches from eternity past to eternity future. While we are looking through a straw, right? That's because that's what it is. We're looking through a straw at a tiny black pencil dot that's set on a line of life. And he is looking at eons of eternity all at one time when we don't have the capacity to do that. So what do we do? Is we stay put because he's in control, right? Now, when Moses and the children of Israel stood on the edge of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming, they were coming at him, they were coming to kill him. When Pharaoh got his army together, and they made an almost unbelievable tactical choice. Out of all things, they stayed put. They stood in place. And why? Because God was weaving a story that if there was a bridge to cross the water, like, the story could not be told. The Israelites would have to walk through the sea to tell God's great story of deliverance. Surely, I'm sure there were other routes, there were other plans of escape, and certainly, like, battles awaited them on the, you know, if they took shorter roads too, but God wanted to take them the long way in a story that required an unprecedented miracle, which was the parting of the Red Sea. So, when we think about our perspectives change. Our perspective changes. And when finding ourselves in a hard place, we realize that the Lord has either placed us there or allowed us to be there. And perhaps for reasons presented only known to him, because he doesn't always tell us why. And his goal for the hemmed in Israelites was not the dot, right, of the moment. Moses must have seen through his straw-like perspective, but a timeless story of God's greatness that will be told and retold throughout history. And when you and I begin to look at the whole of God's plan instead of the tiny part immediately before us, then trust opens up. And we can trust our great God to see us through. He has been faithful to those who've come before us. And trust me, he will be faithful to us as well. The psalmist wrote, "Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures." So martyrs, widows, orphans, the impoverished, the forgotten, the persecuted, and wounded have all found Christ faithful. Such, like, with such a rich history behind him, he is not going to ruin his reputation by hanging us out to dry. He doesn't just act faithfully. He is faithful. I mean, he is faithful. Just like I don't just act like Trey Dismute. I am Trey Dismute. This is who I am and all that I can be. He is faithful. That is who he is. And it is all that he can be. The one who calls you is faithful. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and he will do it again. And again to the church at Corinth, he wrote, God, who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So we have to trust deeply. And in the most difficult times, we can trust deeply that the parts of his will that we don't want are the very things he will use to accomplish his eternal plan. He is faithful to wound, to not to wound us or to hurt us at random, but he is faithful to save us forever. Throughout our lives, we will surely experience heartache and pain. But so we have to keep standing and keep trusting. And echo Peter's words as your declaration of truth in troubled times. When he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. As Jesus drew closer to the cross and to his death, his disciples became more and more frightened and disoriented. They were hoping for something more, more secure. And not surprisingly, some of his followers began to fall away. But Peter had it right. And he understood that the best thing for them at the time was to press in even closer to Jesus than before. There was no better place for them to be. And so those times when we want to, you know, move just to keep from feeling trapped are the very times where we need to be still and lean closer to embrace his will. Don't leave, but cleave. Don't leave, but cleave. Cleave on to God. The more closely you walk with Christ in the uncomfortable of the unknown, the greater clarity of life you will experience. So if you're confused or hurt or disoriented by the things that's going on, just cling to Christ and his word like never before. And let me tell you something, because I see people do it all the time, way too often. But getting mad does not help either. Anger is a secondary emotion. It doesn't achieve the will of God. And in tough times, our anger and resentment can begin to simmer. We imagine that by drifting away or giving God the cold shoulder that we can teach him a thing or two. And the beginning step is to seek an ally that will love us better than God, we think. And some see alcohol or weed as a ready friend offering quick comfort. Others believe that a church switch to where, quote unquote, people will really understand me will relieve their pain. And there's all sorts of coping mechanisms and strategies for handling hurts and disappointments abound, whatever. But regardless of the action that we choose, we're focusing again on, like I said earlier, it's like a tiny pencil dot, right, on a line of eternity. And maybe that was the realization that actually prompted Peter to declare to Jesus, where else would I go? We have to have that attitude with Jesus. Where else am I going to go? I have nowhere else to go but to you. And we have to become closer to Christ. The trials of life, right? They're meant to push us closer to Christ. The night Jesus was betrayed, we find John with his head on his master's chest. When Jesus announced that one of his disciples would betray him, wouldn't John's reflexive response, like likely to be a quickly lift his head and draw back in shock? Like, in my imagination, I see Jesus placing his hand gently on his head to draw him near again. Near Jesus is exactly where I need to be when troubling words or like hurting circumstances come. And this kind of intimacy can feel a little uncomfortable for some, especially for men. But the physical image points to a deeper spiritual reality. When one of my kids, like, or I say my son, right? When my son wants to crawl into my lap and press in close, like after he's like, he's gotten hurt, skinned his knee or something happened where he's crying, like I can't help but to be reminded of the tender love that God has for his children. I'm glad to be the one that my son runs to. Think about it. This is a short, like they're literally, I mean, I know in my life, there's a short list of people who have an open invitation to place their head on my shoulder or my chest. And my list includes my wife, my kids, and maybe my mom, right? Or my sister. But no one else gets those kind of hugs because there is a depth of relationship that precedes such intimate contact. So when I'm hurting and when I'm experiencing that part of God's will that I do not want in my life, he is the one that I run to. The truth is, God has, quote unquote, he's rigged this life, right, to require Jesus Christ as at the center of it. That's basically what God did. He rigged this life so that we require Jesus Christ at its center. And faced with the part of God's will that I do not want, he is the one that I draw close to, trusting that he is weaving a plan even when I don't understand how. So I, like, throughout my life, right, I've had a lot of difficult loss that I had to learn immeasurable lessons in trust. I had to choose to pray and believe that God was in control. When I lost my job, when I lost my car, when I lost my license, when my kids weren't able to be in my life all the time. Like, I had to focus my attention on God and press into him, hurting, but knowing that it was him that I needed most. And although I didn't like his will and I didn't want it, and he didn't ask me about that. And he doesn't have to, because he is the sovereign one. And my job isn't to sit and question him, but my job and your job is to just cling on to him and to trust. That is it, and that's all. And we're going to talk about the side where, because like I told you, I lost, there was a point, right, in my life, and it was right before I got married. I lost my car. I lost my job. I wasn't able to see my daughter. And then my license got taken away. Like, all these things happened all at the same time. I wasn't able to live on my own. I was going through a whole lot of things. And I want to talk to you about the part where people say that God will never give you more than you can handle. Right. And if you've ever heard that, think about it. Have you ever heard somebody say God will never give you more than you can handle? And when they say that, like, I'm guessing like they're paraphrasing, because when you actually go and read it, that they're paraphrasing is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13, which says that God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But listen, trouble and temptation are two different things. There will never be an instance when we are forced into sin with no way out. Sin is always a choice, but not the inevitable result of crushing temptation. But somehow that verse has been twisted to mean that we won't experience more trouble than we can bear, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. God will often allow more than we can handle, but he'll never allow more than he can handle. In fact, my whole life is more than I can handle. That is why I need Christ. I needed God to stay like when I was in school and there was and my parents while I was in school got a divorce and I was struggling. I needed God to stay course. I needed God as a single man who wanted to be married and was fighting so hard. I needed him when I needed a job. And now with kids and a marriage and friends and you know, a great church and people I love, and now I have people that I lead in my life, I definitely have more than I can handle. I need God when Damaris and I struggled to be what it says in the Bible, two who became one. And we're arguing over which one of us we became, right? And only in his strength and wisdom can I know what is best for my family and whether or not my desires are selfish or pure. It is possible to quote unquote win the fight, but lose ground in marriage. And that's a lesson that most of us, especially if you're married, you don't even have to be married long, but that's a lesson that most of us have learned the hard way. And bottom line, this life is hard. I need God every minute of every day because I am often faced with more than I can handle. And Paul must have understood this when he wrote the words to the Corinthians. He said, "We do not want you to be uniformed about the hardships we suffered. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." And so, let me tell you, God, like, it's our time to shine. And I'm gonna tell you what I mean by that. God will undoubtedly allow more than we can handle. Great pressure results in great reliance on him. And settle it and rely on him. The "I can't do this" sweat of life is where we learn to trust him most deeply. And trials and troubles are like what they're like dumbbells and treadmills for the soul, right? They develop strength and stamina. God has used the pressure of trials and tribulation in our life to draw me and you closer to him. And even though they look as uncrossable to me, like the things that were going on in my life look so uncrossable to me, just as the Red Sea must have looked to Moses. But let me tell you, such challenges cause us to rely on God more deeply than we might otherwise. Like, honestly, sadly, if we could handle these things without him, many of us would try and have tried. So when was the last time, think about it, when was the last time you prayed for the strength to take a single step? Today, someone in a hospital or a physical therapy clinic somewhere is asking God for that much strength. That single step to them looks impossible. It is more than they can bear. They need their God just to shuffle a few feet forward. And when they do, the resulting celebration will be even louder than for someone else's marathon. And those parts of his will that we do not want cause the volumes of our face to get turned up, right? So C.S. Lewis said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, but shouts to us in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Like, wow. Not only do we hear God more clearly, but our attentiveness to him can also cause the ears of others to incline towards words of hope. Like, as I endured all the pain and struggles and things in my life, if you look, and my, well, that was the time, even though I was struggling and going through all this stuff, that was the time where I leaned on God the most. Where if you looked in my Bible and you look at it now, there's markings everywhere. Cause and it's hard because your hurts are not my hurts, your struggles are not my struggles. But I'm telling you, it was more than I can bear. But I trusted God to bear it for me, and he did. I leaned into him and not away. And once again, he proved himself faithful in all that he does. So I want to tell you, and I want you guys to listen, when God's will is not what you wanted, you've received your chance to shine. So just stay put and trust that as you lean into Jesus, that he will surely see you through each and every trial and trouble in your life that you may feel is too big or too far gone, that you can't do it. Just know that as long as you trust on God, that there is nothing that is impossible for him. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Please, please remember, y'all, each and every person, go ahead, especially if you're on Apple. Guys, jump on iTunes. The podcast is on iTunes. Go ahead and give me 5 stars. Rate me. Go ahead, send me comments. Guys, and go ahead and show me some love. Share it with your friends, your family, anybody you feel that this can help. Guys, because if we can at least help one person, this will all be worth it. I hope you guys have a fantastic day and a fantastic week. I will hear from you guys later. Remember, lean on God and trust that his will is perfect in each and every one of your lives. I'm out.